Now it's time for Prizes Inside.
Hey, everybody.
Howdy.
And welcome once again to the Prizes Inside podcast.
Pip for short.
I'm Billy.
I'm Jeff.
And we got just a whole cornucopia of snacks.
This is like not a themed episode, other than it's like a miscellaneous episode where like there's random stuff, but it together comes into its own as like a snack night, I guess.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just things that might be in your cupboard or your fridge, and you'll think, oh, I kind of have a taste for this.
It's got an energy of like you went to a gas station and you're like halfway to your destination on some 3 or 4 hour road trip, and you grab some stuff to nibble on.
That's probably a good...
Yeah.
It's a good, the gas station episode.
Maybe that's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'll see as we go through all these, it's basically a candy item, a cookie, a chip, and a sandwich, but...
A quintessential gas station sandwich.
Well, I mean, it is very like gas station-y, but it's not a product that's made with the intent of being known as a gas station.
Well, no,
it's like, right. It's more of a like a protein snack thing. You'll see. We'll read the info about it. So we've got an interesting collection. I don't know where we're going to start. We haven't talked that far ahead, but I figure we'll just kind of dive in and pick one and then work our way through them. Maybe start with the snack stuff that's like not desserty, and then move on to like the candy and the cookie as the end.
Well, we have 3 salties and 2 sweets, so we could go salty, sweet, salty, sweet, salty.
We could, but 2 of the salties are like the same thing, so I figured we just...
Well, and it's probably better to spread them out so that one doesn't influence the other.
Yeah. So like salty, sweet? Because
even though
we have like 5 items, 2 are from the same lineup and they're very similar, so it doesn't seem like it doesn't make sense to like really separate those.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though, because if they're too similar and we have them back to back, they're just going to taste the same.
Well, no, they're different cheeses, I think.
Right, but
I don't think separating them will do much to change how we judge them. If I'm being honest, I'd be surprised.
Well, we'll never know because we're going to.
Well, would you want to start with the sandwiches?
I wouldn't mind starting with the sandwiches.
Okay. All right. Do we have anything to like talk about?
Oh,
before we get
do.
Into that,
we do, because I did find out.
Oh, you made a call.
Yeah,
is that where? Okay,
I called Takis customer service.
He didn't tell me about this, and I was literally setting up as he was here, and then all of a sudden he was on the phone having this kind of weird conversation. And I was like, "What?" Because he didn't alert me. He just started doing it.
Well, that's the way to do it. So I called Takis customer service, and I asked for the Takis Waves packaging, whether there was any significance to the A being upside down. And apparently that was a question that this particular representative had never been asked before.
You would have thought that would have been on their little cheat sheet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they said they think it's not anything really, it's just a marketing bit, but they put me on a brief hold to go check. They probably went to their manager and said, hey, this dumbass is asking me about the the bag. What do I tell him? And then they came back and said, after some research, they didn't have anything. It just seemed like it was an arbitrary decision to flip the A upside down.
I would be impressed if they even did that much. I'm guessing they like turned in their chair. Anybody nearby that wasn't on a call, they were like, hey, do you know what about the upside down A, what that is on the Waves for the nacho one, whatever? And the other one's like, nah, dude, I don't know. Who, somebody asking about that? They're like, yeah. I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
I hate this job. And then they put you back off of hold and say, you know, I looked into it and golly, I just couldn't find anything.
So I used to work in a call center for a financial services firm.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask questions with their money, I can't just be like,
Well, that's different.
Yeah, I know. Obviously. So I do wish that I could have worked in a low stakes call center job and just done exactly what you'd like. Just see how many times I can spin around in my chair without touching the ground and then come back and say, gosh darn it, I got nothing.
You know, I looked high and low, all my resources, and just nada, unfortunately.
I do think I may have helped their, either I helped their call time, or I was on the phone much longer than they wanted, because at the end they were like, have a nice day, bye.
Oh, wow. I kind of wonder, I mean, how many calls do you think they even get in a given day?
There wasn't a hold, which is promising for them, but it is close to the end of their day. So my experience was, when I started 8-9 years ago, it was pretty reasonable. And the longer I was there, they cut down staff to the point where they had the bare minimum number, and it was basically nonstop. So I hope for their sake that they have some breathing room between calls, and they can, you know, collect themselves and give a good customer service experience. But no matter how many calls they actually receive, the goal of the parent company is probably to make so that they are just back-to-back on calls.
Yeah. Otherwise, what are they paying them for?
Yeah, you're paying them too much.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just can't imagine there's a lot of, like, talkie-related inquiries during the day.
I may have told this story before, but I did apply to join Wendy's.
Yes, you did. You did
customer
mention,
service.
Because we talked about course. How bitter you were
yeah.
after not getting
And I remain so to this
yes.
day.
Yes, oh, very much. You'll eat Wendy's, but you said before you will never, like, voluntarily go there. You'll have to be, like, if you're in a group and they all want to go there, you'll go, but you'll never be like, hey, let's go to Wendy's.
Pretty much.
You've burned that bridge and not looked back.
I don't know who they hired over me, but it was a mistake, and I hope they were fired, and I hope they were terrible at it.
It'd be great if you read an article about, like, this one guy who, like, started in that job at the same time that you applied. And, like,
now he's the...
He's, like, the CEO, and he worked his way up, and just he bowled him over with all kinds of great ideas that they
Forget
were
Forget about never eating
to.
Wendy's. I would burn the nearest Wendy's to the ground.
Speaking of that, you had seen an article about...
Yeah.
So we're in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus is known as being kind of like a test market for some companies. And Wendy's, you know, was founded here, started here.
I think their corporate headquarters is here.
The original, like, they used to have it open, but they closed it some years ago, where you could go to, like, the first Wendy's, like the original Wendy's. But they closed that shop up. But anyway, you found an article that you sent my way, I think earlier today or yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, We may make a little road trip for an episode, if you want to mention that. We're going to look into it. We don't make any promises, but we're going to see if we can find this location, because... Yeah.
Well, so Wendy's is partnering with Google to revolution... This is a quote.
Yeah.
To revolutionize the drive-through experience by essentially using AI to take your order at the drive-through window. Now, there's a lot of challenges, such as ambient noise... Order customization and stuff. I don't know.
Et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing an AI probably can't handle. But probably the long-term goal is to eliminate drive-through attendant as a position. But be that as it may, they're going to deploy this AI in one of their company-owned Columbus locations. So we thought, hey, what if we went to visit this AI, gave it an arbitrarily complex order of just perfectly normal items, and see what we get.
I mean, the curiosity for me is how, I guess, ultimately, it'll probably be hard to, like, fool it or mess with it, because I'm guessing, I mean, I don't know this. My guess is, once it's done with the order, it'll have, like, on the screen, like, and it'll ask for confirmation. Or it'll read back what you ordered, and it'll be like, is that correct? And then you'll be like, yes or no. And then if it's not, you'll have to, you know, say it again. That's my guess to avoid that. You know, like, I'm thinking of, like, Wayne's World, where they go through the drive-thru and he, like, pretends that the intercom is cutting out as he's saying the order.
Yeah.
And the person, like, repeats it back perfectly, ruining his attempt to have some lulls. But yeah, that's my guess as to how they would avoid that. But it would still be a fun kind of experiment to see how it works, how it feels.
Yeah.
How late-stage capitalism-y it feels, where it's like, oh, everybody is unemployed now.
Well, so here's what we can do. We can do it. We come back. We eat the food.
Yeah.
And then, based on our experiences, I'll call them up. I'll tell them, you hired the wrong person. Then I'll hang up real fast. And then you can call them, and you can tell them what you thought and how badly, you know, we hope that this doesn't usher in a wave of layoffs at Wendy's across the country.
I'm just imagining, like, the T-1000s or T-800s from, like, Terminator being,
with a
like,
little,
like, glowing eyes and...
Headset on.
Yeah, and they have the headset, and they have, like, the apron, and they have, like, the Wendy's cap, but they're, like, doing all of the, like, serving and everything. That would be amazing and terrifying. But, I mean, I'm torn, because I'm usually a big fan of, like, technological advances and efficiency and things like that. And, you know, I think ultimately it would be nice, but I don't see how you would do this with this particular instance, is where those jobs get converted into, like, the maintenance or upkeep of the robot or whatever. But I don't know how easy that would be to just, you know, transition somebody that does the drive through or yeah. whatever into that. But like, I'm hoping there will be an offset to a degree where jobs are created that require people to at least do like maintenance yeah. checks or whatever.
And I will say too, not that anybody necessarily wants to be a person taking orders at a fast food place. I saw a story the other day, or maybe it wasn't, it was like a Reddit thread. I admit I haven't looked this up. Everyone should fact check me before they repeat this story to their friends okay. and family.
All right.
But I think maybe it was at a Starbucks where somebody gave somebody the wrong order and they took scalding hot coffee and they threw it at
oh,
them.
Yeah.
And then that person is suing the Starbucks for something. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
How
I do remember hearing something about that, yeah. but I don't know the specifics.
So of all the people that need a break, it's the customer facing side of fast food, because I feel like there's too many people that don't think of them as people.
Well, I mean, if I'm off the cuff here, what they need is just more money, for one thing. Like, I think,
I mean, that would make it easier, but
here's the thing.
If there's one thing I know with 100% certainty, yeah. they will not get. They will have to pry it out of Dave Thomas's skeletal fingers.
Cyber Dave. he's more machine than man now. Yeah, I know. But like, it's wild to me how seemingly the harder the job, the less you get for it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a certain like people like talk about how like, oh, nobody wants to work anymore. It's like, no, nobody wants to work for peanuts doing horribly demanding or menial jobs that like suck the soul out of you. Like, you do that for 40 hours a week and then not want a livable wage.
Just over minimum. There's also, again, I haven't fact checked these, but there's plenty of like montage newspaper articles you can find of the people don't want to work
over the centuries or decades or whatever. Yeah.
It's always an old
favorite.
It's always coming from on high that people mm-hmm. don't want to work, when really, you know, workers just want too many rights.
Yeah. They're so demanding. It's like, ugh, first now they want like safety precautions.
Now they want sick days.
What? A 10-year-old can't work?
They're the best
workers. If anything, they have more energy than anybody.
And their tiny little fingers.
Yeah, they can get into like nooks and crannies.
They're the only people that can do it.
Yeah. If anything,
what else
we should start hiring at like 8. Really enjoy those formative years before their hands are too big or their bodies develop and they're like adults. Gotta use them up for the big machine while you can. What do you see where it was? Some McDonald's was like caught like using like, I don't know how many like 10-year-olds or whatever.
Well, there was the Hyundai plant in Alabama.
Or maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I think there were two, like the Hyundai plant was the really bad one, because did you see the pictures where the kids are wearing like they're wearing like the safety gear but they're wearing gloves, and it's like, you know, it's not like, oopsie poopsie, we hired a kid. Like, all the gloves are like kid size. So, like, everything fits perfectly. So like, it's clearly planned out. I think the McDonald's thing was like not as severe as that.
I would still hope not.
Easy. No, yeah, but
what,
I mean, like,
what could still... what could McDonald's possibly right. have employed the kids to do?
Yeah,
to like scuba dive into the grease fryer
with little Timmy's hand didn't get cut off in the fry machine, whereas like at the plant, you know,
little Billy's got to file a workers' comp claim.
He comes home to like his toys. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Don't you want to play with your, I don't know, Fortnite toys or whatever they play with these days? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to say like Ninja Turtles, but like, it's not really the hot thing right now.
I just watched my best friend lose his job.
Yeah.
He was a week away from retirement.
He was a week away from
first
grade.
He was about to start high school.
He hadn't even learned to read yet. He signed a contract with a crayon and it was just a scribble. He didn't know any better.
Can't even believe it was legal. Well, it turned out it wasn't.
Yeah, it's very much not.
Anyway.
Woof. Let's avoid the horrors of the real world and just enjoy Snacktopia here, or whatever you want to call it.
Don't imagine where these things were
produced.
Don't
think about how they were made. Just think about how good they taste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
Hey.
So let's eat some cheese sandwiches.
Okay. So, well, they're not cheese sandwiches.
Or were they cheese witches?
Yeah, they're cheese witches, because they're not cheese sandwiches. The cheese is like the bun.
So?
It's not a cheese sandwich. A cheese sandwich is where the cheese is the center.
No, I disagree. I think...
No. Okay. That's... Because whatever you call a blank sandwich, That means the blank thing is in between two other things that act as a bun or buffer.
What about a sub sandwich?
You're not eating a sub, like a submarine.
The sub is the name.
That's just the name for the style of it. But like you get like a Philly cheesesteak sub sandwich.
A taco
sub.
No, just a taco. It's named for the outer material.
You have like a chicken taco, a beef taco, a shredded, you know, pork taco, whatever. Like it's still got a descriptor that lets you know what's the filling.
I suppose. I'm not convinced.
You know what? Let us know in the comments whether you think a cheese sandwich has to have cheese as the central focus, or if it can just include cheese somewhere in it, I guess.
Well, this is the central focus.
What was that?
I don't know. well, now what I was going to say.
Oh, now I've ruined your train of thought. No, I here's what I said. Leave a comment if you think I'm right in saying a cheese sandwich necessitates the cheese being the central focus of, like, you know, between two things, like a couple slices of bread, or otherwise. And
or if you think it's the central focus, as in the point of the item.
But it's not the point of the item. The point of the item is the...
I would rather have cheese than deli meat. To me, the cheese is the star.
Yeah, but it's not... I mean, I think the whole thing is, like, it's an ensemble thing anyway. Like, it's... That's why it's probably called a cheese witch, because the twist is the cheese is like the bun. That's why it's called that instead of a cheese sandwich or a cheese cheese which cheese a cheese cheese or whatever. I don't know. Point is, sound like I was having an episode there.
Well, we are. We're on our episode. 59.
No, I meant like a spell. Yeah. So let me read about letting you guys know what a cheese witch is. You may have never heard of it. I didn't hear about it until I don't know how I came across it, to be honest. But I looked it up. I actually reached out to their Instagram page because at first I couldn't figure out how to find where it's sold. But there is a locations button or a sublink on their website where you can look it up. For us, primarily, they're available at Walgreens, which is interesting. Okay. I think
Walgreens doesn't get very many exclusives.
And like some Circle K's, things like that. And I was only able to find two flavors or two different varieties of it. I think there's like four at least. And they have different other offshoots. But let me just give you the story of the Cheese Witch, like, company or whatever. I think that's the most interesting thing probably about this. And then we'll give it a whirl. Okay. Let me grab my laptop here. I don't want to unplug anything. Here, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So this is not related.
Related to what?
Well, so I opened my browser and, you know, it has like the news stories, top stories on the, as soon as you open it. So... One of the headlines or links is Ray Liotta's cause of death finally announced, but they have an exclamation point at the end of it.
I don't
like they're exclaiming it.
I feel like there should be no punctuation.
Yeah, but I don't know how legitimate of a website it is.
It's probably
some entertainment site or something. But it's just a weird choice to me.
It is.
You shouldn't be excited about, you know, saying, "Hey, we found out how this guy died." Anyway, let's get to the Cheese Witch story here. So the website is cheesewitch.net. Got a cute like cow as its logo, which I enjoy. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to try and like summarize it. I don't want to read the whole thing. It's not long, but I don't know how entertaining it'll be. It says, "Humble beginnings. Tony McGoths Sr., founder of Cheese Witch, was born a natural entrepreneur and a good one at that."
He was hiring his classmates is what he was doing.
Well, it says 35 years ago, he founded Registry Seafood and Steaks for door-to-door delivery of vacuum-packed frozen meats. I like this guy already.
How old is he?
It doesn't say. This is when he kind of came up with the idea for the Cheese Witch. While adding a peeled and deveined line of shrimp and six-pack seafood combos for home delivery, he fostered his idea for Cheese Witch. I'm not sure what the shrimp connection would make to a cheese witch, but it was while enjoying a rare, relaxing fishing day in the Wobegon days. Have you heard of that phrase? Wobegon?
Wobegon.
I've heard of that, but it's been
not,
a long time.
It's not the context that I think I would have guessed it was.
In the Wobegon days of 1995, that this entrepreneur reached into his cooler for a salami and cheese sandwich.
Hold on.
It was a soggy mess.
So the definition of Wobegon is sad or miserable in appearance. What kind of commentary well, by giving to the 90s.
I think 95 must have sucked because they do say a rare, relaxing fishing day.
Yeah.
So apparently 95 was not a good year for this fella. But again, he reached into his cooler for his salami and cheese sandwich. Gross. What a soggy mess. That's when the light bulb went off. And apparently the cheese and salami still looked tempting. Maybe it was just the hot sun and a slow, biting day. But lo and behold, the idea of a cheese and salami sandwich without the bread was born.
See, this grinds my gears because we recently, I don't remember which episode, we were talking about how both of us sometimes just like to eat a hot dog or a bratwurst or whatever without the bun.
Right.
We could have been entrepreneurs in 1995 if only we had thought.
Well, it took him a minute to get this going, so I don't know. There's more to the story. After searching for 10 years,
oh my God,
a decade, to find a packer that would make these delicious gems, as they call it, he decided to produce them himself. He trademarked Cheesewich and then took another 8 years to find the best quality cheese, salami, and film packaging process. So 18 years total from conception to finally coming out. I feel like
we're missing some bits here. It should not have taken 18 years. Unless this is just like, I take a bite of this and I've never had cheese.
It's literally going to be just salami and cheese. Yeah. Like that's all. But anyway, I think maybe he had like a particular vision he wasn't willing to bend on.
He wasn't willing to compromise.
Wasn't going
to,
you know.
On his deli meat
wasn't
going to
sell out on his no bread salami sandwich. They launched their three original flavors in 2013. The concept was so simple and delicious because they took two slices of Wisconsin's cheddar, Colby Jack, or Pepper Jack classics and sandwiched them over one slice of premium salami. Just a few short months later, they added provolone to the lineup. And they have not slowed down since.
18 years that guy was workshopping this. In 3 months, they turned provolone around.
Yeah.
What kind of corners do you think they cut on that one?
So within the last 5 years, they've had the Cheesewich Factory is the name of the company or whatever. The Cheesewich Factory.
So it's like the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's Cheesewich Factory.
They've added 6 additional flavors created completely new keto, gluten-free, and high-protein award-winning products, such as Double Play and Bacon Witch, their first heat-and-serve product, Breakfast Taco, and... What? This is weird. They say... Okay, so I'll read the whole sentence for this because I was just, you know, kind of cherry-picking here. Our first heat-and-serve product, Breakfast Taco, has taken off like hotcakes. Nope. No pun intended. What?
Okay.
There's no pun there.
Or if you want to make the case that using a breakfasty expression is a pun, it obviously was intended.
Yeah. Anyway.
You don't have to. You can just say it's taken off like hotcakes without trying to deflect. You can be clever.
Yeah. And they describe the meal. It's basically scrambled eggs, Colby Jack cheese, 3 slices of uncured turkey bacon, and a flour tortilla.
We're not having breakfast.
I know. I don't know why they go into a lot of it for that. There's only a couple of lines left, so we'll just wrap it up here. Cheesewich protein and cheese products have always been cold crafted from their inception. So do not settle for the knockoffs when you can have Cheesewich, the original witch, without the sand. Call Cheesewich today to start stocking your stores with America's fastest growing, keto-friendly, grab-and-go snacks. This is the last line. We've come a long way, baby.
From those sad, miserable fishing days. Now, I will say, because I don't usually do it with the meat, like the lunch meats, but I will take just a block of mozzarella cheese and eat it. So yeah. I'll bet you that if this is good, occasionally, when I'm just at the store, I might just go over to the lunch meat place, go over the cheese, and make myself my own homemade cheese.
Well, that's a knockoff that probably doesn't match what's been curated here. But we'll see.
We're going to. Maybe I'm going
to
be blown.
Are you just trying to go for this man's throat? Why don't you just shoot his family in the face? You're just going to...
18 years he spent.
3 divorces later, and he finally made it happen. And you're just going to go and slap together some salami and cheese.
There's a show on Netflix called Friday Night Tykes, and it's about youth football teams in Texas, I think. and like it's just like a documentary type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one coach on there that was so driven to win a Pee Wee football championship that like his wife left him. He's losing his job. Like he's falling apart as a person.
It's all he has and in his
everything
life.
Everything is put into this football championship. It reminded me of that. This man put his life on the line for Cheese Witch.
So they do have like their lineup here on the website. There's a Bacon Witch, Breakfast Taco, and Double Play. We'll just focus on the Cheese Witches.
Well, those are the only things we have.
Yeah. And I was only able to find two flavors, but there are six. There's Cheese Witch. Okay, they're all Cheese Witches. There's All Natural, Uncured, Hard Salami, and Colby Jack. That's one of the ones we have. All Natural, Pepperoni, and Mozzarella. Original Salami and Cheddar. That's the other one we have. And then we also have Original Salami and Colby Jack. Original Salami and Provolone. And Original Salami and Pepper Jack. That's the one I wish I could have found.
Well, you're a big
Because I love Pepper Jack, and I think that would have been... I think it would have, been more unique versus Cheddar or Colby Jack. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the...
I think we'll get the idea after a couple anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because it seems like there's a couple other variants, but it seems like it's basically just two slices of cheese and a salami is the theme.
Yeah, but let's not act like we could just make this from the comfort of our own home.
Yeah, no.
When this thing was ready to go, it was already able to drive and vote.
Yeah, because if I'm thinking about it now, is if we really like these, or if I really like this, and I want to go home and have one for myself, what do I have to do? I have to go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to walk all the way to the cheese and buy some cheese.
Yep.
I'm going to have to walk all the way over to lunch meat.
Yep.
And buy my favorite lunch meat.
Yeah.
Maybe so. It doesn't have to be salami, but they seem to like salami.
That salami seems to be the go-to meat.
Yeah. And then I'm going to have to check out, because I don't need bread.
Right.
So I just go to checkout and then drive home. And then...
Then you got to make it like an idiot. You got to put together like a moron, like some caveman.
I feel like the infomercial for this would be like, those things where some... like. When I was in elementary school, we had a thing where like you write directions for the teacher to make a sandwich, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and someone would be like, put the peanut butter on the bread. Mm-hmm. And then the teacher would be like intentionally trying to mess it up and just like put a whole hand in the peanut butter and then just slap it on the bread, or like put the peanut butter jar itself on the bread or something like that. I feel like that would be the infomercial for this.
Yeah.
Would just be people trying to make a sandwich and then throwing their hands up in disgust because they've...
can't handle a basic function.
Yeah.
Or, let's leave that to the 10-year-olds in the factory line that are putting these together for us.
Well, it's their tiny fingers that make it possible.
He just has all of his kids. He's had a bunch of kids specifically to work the line. Anyway, let's grab them and then we'll just see how they are.
Yeah.
All right.
Jokes aside, I'm sure they're going to be good. It's cheese and meat. How do you mess it up?
We'll see.
Well, he's had 18 years to do it, so...
I heard you laughing. Are you laughing at this man's vision?
No, I'm laughing because, and again, I'm not saying these aren't going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this wouldn't hit the spot on a long drive. What I am absolutely saying is that this is literally just two pre-sliced slices of cheese with a pre-sliced slice of salami in it, and then it's been put through a
vacuum-sealed
sealer.
Yep.
If there's anything more to this... then I apologize to whatever your name was, founder of Cheese Witch.
Well, let's start with the salami and Colby Jack.
Okay.
And go from there.
How do you open it?
There's a corner that like you just pull apart.
Oh, okay. Let me find it.
Smells like cheese and salami.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm struggling.
You better hurry. I'm getting hungry. This smells like premium cut. I mean, I can smell the salami through the cheese. You can't even see the salami. It's just a cheese disc or saucer.
I mostly smell the cheese, actually. All right.
Okay.
Look at this.
Let's do it. No more dancing around it. Let's just bite in here.
What'd you think?
I don't know that I've ever had a better slice of hard salami with two slices of Colby Jack cheese in my entire life. Because I don't think I've ever had that combination of things before. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Boy, there's not much more to say. It's good salami. It's good cheese.
Yeah.
It works well together.
We've eaten...
I don't...
By now, 59 episodes in, we have eaten a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you think to yourself, I'm not going to like this. And it turns out it's really good. Sometimes you think, oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's really nasty. We have never... This item, hands down, would take the prize of being exactly what I expected it was.
That's very true. Which makes me wonder, how do we rate this?
I don't know, because it was good.
It was, like, honestly.
I liked it.
It feels weird to give it a 5, but what are we going to fault it for? You know what I mean? Well, how about this? Let's try the cheddar one.
Yeah.
To see if one has a better taste or something, and then we can rate them, maybe, and see, find some sort of discrepancy. But, like, I mean, it's literally salami and cheese, like...
That is all that it is. Cannot stress enough. But yet, it's
somehow more.
Yeah.
Mentally. I don't know. Let's try the other one. Okay, this one is cheddar with the hard salami.
I've got better cheese coverage on mine.
Really?
Yeah, my salami slice is completely enrobed in cheese.
Yeah, both of mine, I can't see a single speck of salami. I'm just saying.
I know, this is just...
Let's give it a few bites, and then we'll make a judgment and go from there.
Got cheese mouth.
You don't get that from slapping together some cheese at home. You don't get the cheese mouth that way. Anyway, I'm going to say it. I liked the Colby Jack better.
I did too. I just think cheddar's kind of a...
Cheddar has its place. It works well in certain scenarios. But if you make it like the singular cheese focus, it sometimes can be...
It's kind of a boring cheese.
Yeah, it's reliable, but it only... Like, it works like a slice of cheddar on like on a burger or whatever. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's really carrying a lot of the weight... Yeah. Flavor-wise.
I do find I prefer the white cheeses to the orange cheeses, but...
It depends. Like, the Colby Jack one, for example, is good, but, generally, like, Swiss or Pepper Jack, things like that, are my jam. Excuse me. So, that brings me some relief, though, because I'm going to give the cheddar one a 4. I mean, it's still good. Like, it's still...
Yeah, I'm going to finish both of these.
And I'm going to give the Colby Jack one a 5. What can I possibly... Like, what negative can you find?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But I...
Look, by your own rules, you have to give it a 5,
I would say. My rules have been arbitrarily harsh on all of these.
That's true. But what... Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it... It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
In the most, like, nail on the head kind of a way.
Yeah.
And it's good. I like cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I like salami.
So it's got to be a 5.
Well, here's my thing.
Here we go.
How much were they?
I don't remember how much. So I got one set at Walgreens and the other at a local beer store. So that's the problem. I don't want to say this is an accurate price because I feel like if you go to a beer store or a place like that, any kind of snack or convenience items are marked up a little bit. If I remember right, so it says $2.59. on the one I got today. If I remember, but it's been a while. I think when I bought the Cheese Witches at Walgreens, they were like $2.50-ish, maybe?
Yeah.
Couple bucks, but not much more than that.
So, if I'm ever like on a road trip and I see these, I might get one. Because that would hit, it is protein dense. It would hit the spot.
You've got 15 grams of protein per Cheese Witch.
And I might even bring Cheese Witches with me. It might be in my work rotation of lunch items.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
it's going to be homemade.
Oh, my God. Why don't you just slap that man's whole family in the mouth while you're at it? Kick them as they end up on the street because you just had to go homemade. You couldn't just throw a couple bucks the Cheese Witch family's way. I think, for me... I get it. I get the price point being an issue for you.
Like if I'm in a grocery store already and I can just buy cheese and salami and I see these, this will remind me to buy cheese and salami.
Yeah, I guess my thing is I don't know that I would get through all that cheese and salami before it went bad, because I'm just one man. I wouldn't be craving it like a lot.
Well, no, but you can start making sandwiches. You can make grilled cheese.
I don't think. I mean, you have to pay more for the cheese that they use like on here isn't just like, you know, like a bunch of Kraft singles or something. You couldn't replicate it.
You get store brands.
I think you'd be surprised at how much it would cost to mass produce them.
I'll tell you who wouldn't be is Joe Cheesewitch over there.
All right. So what are you rating it? If you're including the price as an issue.
Well, so the price is a concern, but it's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
That I will start using myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I'll give it a 5, but it's...
Yeah, wait, are both of them a 5 or just one of them?
Only one can be a 5, but they're literally the same thing. It's like 5 for the Colby Jack and then just like 4.9 for the other one. Because if you like cheddar,
yeah,
you'll be on the opposite way.
You'll be on cloud 9.
They're cheese and meat.
Yeah.
They're good. There's nothing else that can be said.
Okay. I think that's fair. Shall we move on to the next item?
Yeah, let's do it. I didn't eat dinner, though, so I'm going to munch on these while you...
Okay. I'll put mine in the fridge here, I think. Give me just a second, and then we'll... what are we going to next? The sweet thing? We'll do the Kit Kat next.
Okay.
You taking a nap, little miss? Mm-hmm. Sleepy time? Been a long day of not doing shit, huh?
So up next, we have Kit Kat birthday cake bars. All right, so close out the cheese. Which one? I got to unpin it. So as a primer, this is a flavor that's been around before, but I had never seen it or had been made aware of it.
I don't think I've had it either.
This initially came out in early 2020. It seems like
pre or post COVID.
Barry by like the skin of its teeth pre-COVID. This announcement was February 19th, 2020. So we're talking literal weeks before lockdown. And apparently it was going to be available nationwide starting in April of 2020.
Whoops.
Oopsie poopsie. So what was interesting was I read another post about it more recently where it had come back. And they mentioned in that article saying like it had disappeared as soon as it had like shown up. So I kind of wonder if they're like, well, we should just scrap it and bring it back later. And maybe it did come out and stay around a little longer than just that, but it seems like it just had really bad luck in terms of that release window.
That does seem likely.
And it's great because, man, this quote, aged like milk, because they're like, they're all happy about this. Our U.S. Kit Kat lovers have continued to voice a longing for new and imaginative flavors, and that's exactly what we're giving them in 2020. We've kicked off the year with not one, but 3 new flavor innovations and can't wait to announce what else we have in store. So, again, bad timing. Apparently, at that point, they recently announced the Duos Mint and Dark Chocolate, a sweet cinnamon one, which I've never seen or had.
Yeah, all those sound good.
And Pumpkin Pie.
That might have been good, but I just don't know if it would have survived the Kit Kat form.
There were also Lemon Crisp and Raspberry Cream flavors that came out as limited edition. I did see the lemon one recently around Easter, but I didn't grab it because the packaging didn't say limited time, and it just didn't, I don't know. I was like, it's probably just lemon, whatever.
I'm sure that's...
And really, so like, these quotes are not really that specific about the cake one, except for this. Kit Kat birthday cake delivers on the universal love of the layers of birthday cake flavor and aroma of frosting, perfectly paired with the surprise crunch of sprinkles. So there's sprinkles in it, too.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, not really too much to it. But it looks like a fun one. I thought we'd give it a whirl and see how it tastes. Because birthday cake, I feel like, is one that can be tricky to really nail.
So
like
far.
I think it's easy to like make it good, but it's hard to make it great.
So far, I think... In our tasting experience with birthday cake things, if it is a pastry item, mm-hmm. like an actual cakey thing, if it is an ice cream, or for me, if it's like, so Giant Eagle, they'll sell little things of edible cookie dough and they have a birthday cake flavor. Mm-hmm. If it's the dough form, then it's really good.
Yeah.
But anything that's like the consistency of the Kit Kat, or when we had those jelly beans.
Like some sort of crunchy bar or bar in
general. Yeah, like the creamy birthday cake flavors haven't really landed for me. But we'll see if this one turns it around.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and... Apologies if my chair squeaking is... We need to get chairs specifically for this.
I wonder if I could start bringing our chairs.
Do you have like foldable ones? Or...
They're not foldable, but they're better size for this table.
Anyway. So he's opening it up. I figure we just split, you know, a couple for each of us and go from there. Thank you, thank you. Ooh, I like how... I like the sprinkles. Oh, it smells like birthday cake. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It's got the sprinkles, you know, in there. Hey.
Bottoms up.
Down the hatch.
That was good.
That's it?
Well, it tasted birthday cakey. I liked the if it was all the chocolatey bit, probably wouldn't have liked it as much, but I thought the crunchy bits of the Kit Kat, whatever it was made of. I don't know if it was a regular Kit Kat or a special birthday cake.
I think it was a regular Kit Kat.
But I think it complemented it well.
Mm-hmm.
I like the sprinkles. I always like sprinkles. And I don't really have anything to complain about.
I think what impressed me the most was that the flavor was like birthday cake icing more than birthday cake, which was perfect because I love icing, especially on birthday cakes, but any kind of cake, really. I was impressed because we had just talked about how like in this form, usually not that great, but I thought this was a pretty good interpretation of a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor was great. I enjoyed the sprinkles in there too.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I think of sprinkles, I think of birthday cupcakes more so than birthday cake in my general experience, unless it's like an ice cream cake, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it either. It tasted really good. I really enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought.
I did too.
I'm hesitant to do another 5 right off the bat. I think I'll just settle on 4.5, but I'm trying to think of a reason to knock off half a point.
So I'm going to give it a 4 for 2 reasons.
Okay.
First, I still don't know if I prefer this to a plain old Kit Kat, because Kit Kats are pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I also don't know that I prefer this to, like, say I'm a Giant Eagle later, looking for cheese and salami to make myself a cheese witch.
Monster.
And I pass by the Kit Kat aisle and I see these, I would probably just try to find what I just talked about, the little cookie dough birthday cake. Because it still has the birthday cake flavor, but I really like it. But if these were in like a mixed bag of Kit Kats, they would be towards the top of the list. But I don't think it quite unseats other birthday cake things, nor does it unseat Kit Kat itself. So how can I give it a 5?
Yeah, I guess so. I think the thing for me is it's hard for me to compare it directly to a regular Kit Kat because they're such different beasts. Like when I think of Kit Kat, I think of a nice chocolatey treat. And so, you know, if I'm in a mood for a Kit Kat, it's because I'm in a chocolatey mood.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be in a mood for chocolatey stuff when I want this. It's a different slice of that dessert pie that I like, you know? Like sometimes I get hankerings for something like birthday cakey like that, or something like a fruit flavored thing, or something real chocolatey. So like it's hard for me to, it's like an apples and oranges kind of thing where I don't feel comfortable saying I like one more than the other because they're sating two different sides to my sweet tooth. Which one does it better? I mean, it's hard to go wrong with like regular chocolate. Like they've mastered that. That's that's their go-to.
The reason we have flavors like this is because original Kit Kat is so good.
Yeah, that's their what do you want to call it? Their foundational structure that's never going to
it's a load
never going to fall by the wayside. Yeah.
Wafer cookie.
So I guess at the end of the day, the original would be still the king, but this is a really darn good offshoot. So if birthday cake flavored Kit Kat sounds good to you, you're going to be in for a good time.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed.
I don't think so.
Yeah. On to the next item.
Yeah.
All right. Time for another.
I was a 4 on that one.
Yeah. You were a 4. I was a 4.5.
All right.
So not really that far off, ultimately.
Let's break out the
some chippies
habanero. And while you read the press release, I will find out how we enter to win a Dodge...
Dodge Charger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to split that, but...
I'll take the front half.
Well, honestly, we'll just split the cash value. I don't need a car.
Yeah, I would... I mean, I paid off mine. The insurance on that would be...
Yeah,
probably a bit
charger,
more.
Because we both drive compacts.
Yeah, we just drive.
Is gonna,
we're yeah. you know, we. I drive a Honda. You drive a.
I drive a Hyundai. Speaking of,
yeah, there you go. Yeah,
but we're literally the same class of car,
right?
Same size, direct competitors.
And my insurance went up a little bit this year.
So did mine.
As it is, like, for no reason. Like, I haven't been in any accidents.
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, no reason. It's, you know what it is. It's because they're facing higher than normal call volumes, and they need to pay all those call center people.
Sure.
Until they develop an AI program to answer basic inquiries, and then...
It'll still stay up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going back down.
Well, they're not going to do anything to their market.
We're not going to enjoy that. No. All right, so you read that. I'll give you the little press release about this one. So, what's interesting about this flavor is that I think it's been around before, but I'm not entirely sure. I know Frito-Lay has had this flavor before, but I don't know if they've had it in Ruffles form. I'll leave it at that. But they announced in April a giveaway encouraging fans to collect rides and unlock prizes in celebration of Universal Pictures' new Fast and Furious film, Fast X. So here's a whole press release. I'll just kind of, like, you know, cherry pick the best parts. They're partnering... to celebrate individual style, confident swagger, and innovative flavor.
Yep.
I'm surprised they didn't say family, though, for the Fast and the Furious fans.
It was a missed opportunity.
The bags will feature street racing vehicles from Fast X, and they'll give fans the chance to win weekly with Fandango movie tickets, film merchandise, and one lucky winner.
Or two lucky winners.
Well, I mean, one, you know, ultimately.
One entry, yeah.
Lucky winner will receive a grand prize... of a 2013 Dodge Charger RT.
Wait, a 2013?
Did I say 2013?
Yeah.
Whoops. 2023 Dodge Charger RT.
That became a lot less
yeah.
of a grand prize.
Only got 75,000 miles on it. It's a great deal. Fast X arrives in theaters May 19th. Oh, this isn't a quote. It's just more, you know, hyping up the whole deal. As a brand famous for the distinctive ridges on its chips... Ruffles is on a mission to inspire fans to unapologetically own what makes them unique. Their, quote, ridges.
Own your ridges. Yeah, this is the LeBron James chip.
Well, it keeps going, though. That's why I'm trying not to laugh. The embodiment of these ridges in the Fast Saga are the characters' wheels, as each vehicle is carefully chosen and customized to reflect the driver's uniqueness and renowned personality. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Now we got a quote. Ruffles is all about having confidence in your personal ridges, everything that makes you who you are, said Stacy Taffet, blank, 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 of blank, Frito-Lay, North America. Blank, 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 of blank.
Is it of marketing?
It is of marketing. You got that part. So blank, blank, blank.
Senior Vice President.
You got it. You nailed it.
Nice.
The Fast Saga has long symbolized the... God, I just can't get over how... Okay. Focus. It's just, you're just reading text. It's not comical no matter how pretentious and dumb it is. The Fast Saga has long symbolized that same pride and individuality. So we knew Ruffles Snackers would be excited to experience Fast X with us beyond the big screen. They're unmarked bags of different chips. Most notably, Ruffles Honey Habanero, a new flavor that is a blend of sweet and a kick of heat. Weekly prizes... blah, blah, blah. You can find the code and then register at rufflesfastx.com by June 24th. And then the rest of it is basically the contest lingo about the rules and all that.
Yeah. So two things I want to mention here. First thing, we, some years ago, had talked about running through the Fast franchise.
It'll still happen. COVID happened and everything. Yeah,
this was back in Fast 8, I think. So it's been a couple movies
since then. Well, I bought a box set of all the movies up to that point, and I think it was up to the 8th one.
Yeah. But we did manage to see the first one.
So far, I think, in our friend group, we've all just seen the very first one.
Yeah. Which was, if you haven't seen it, is a kind of an intimate... low stakes movie. When I say intimate, I just mean, like, about the characters.
Yeah.
About boosting DVD players and racing cars.
Yeah, it's street racing with some you know,
yeah, he's
theft.
I think he's infiltrating the street racing place because they think they're stealing DVD players.
The main character is Paul, what's his name? Paul Walker. His character. He's like an undercover cop or detective. I can't remember what department he's in. He infiltrates it, and Vin Diesel is like the guy in that underworld. And they become like besties.
You're not out of control. You're not in control.
Yeah, they're like besties. And yet there's this tension because one is secretly trying to like thwart the other. And
yeah.
There's high stakes, high speeds. Ultimately, and it came out early 2000s. And it's of the time. Like you said, they're heisting DVDs, for example.
Yeah.
And so it's a fun, you know, romp. It's not a movie you have to think very hard about. And you're like, that was fun, like, you know, 100 minutes or whatever it is.
And then we saw a trailer for Fast 10, and Vin Diesel's launching himself out of a helicopter. He's like, you made one mistake. You didn't take my wheels. And then he, like, lands on a tank, and it blows up.
The physics basically physics aren't a thing in this world at this point in the series. Yeah.
What I'm most excited for, it's not that I necessarily think any of the individual movies are going to be that groundbreaking in terms of action adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know how on earth we got from there
to like to Marvel here. Universe style action scenes.
We're one step away from a giant space beam that's going to blow up the world unless Vin Diesel can drive his Camaro into the... They did, I think.
They went to space and I think the last one.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. And it's like, how did this like street racing gang that I think... The first movie took place in like L.A., right?
Probably.
Or like out in California. They go from that to like literally globe-trotting. They're in like, you know, Paris and all these other countries and things like that. Like it just, obviously it wasn't planned to go that way, but it just kept happening. And I want to see like, I'm curious to see which movie had the first spark of that lunacy.
Well, I'll bet you as we watch, there's going to be the moment where the car jumped over the shark.
Yeah. And then it's just, there's no looking
where you're
back.
Like, oh,
that's it.
We're not street racing anymore. We are moon racing.
I'm really curious. Because my understanding, based on what I've gleaned, the second movie's whatever. And then the third one, Tokyo Drift, is apparently secretly the best one.
So my guess is, so I remember my sister saw Tokyo Drift and I went to see Jurassic Park 3 in theaters. But my guess is that one is going to be the last
sane one
racing movie.
I think you're right. Because I do think the fourth one is that watershed moment for the series.
I don't know. I don't actually know. Maybe in Tokyo Drift they go to space too. I've never read a plot synopsis of it.
From Tokyo to the moon.
But that's my guess is that they're probably going to come up against some Japanese street racer who drifts.
Yeah.
And they like it'll be like the scene from Semi-Pro where they do the alley-oop and nobody knows what to do.
Right.
And they're going to lose, but then they're going to learn how to love each other again and they're going to learn how to drift and they're going to win. That's my guess.
Well, we'll find out.
We will. One day.
Someday.
So the second thing I wanted to say, I looked all over this bag and I didn't see a code. So I wonder if it's on the inside.
Probably. So, because otherwise people could just go to the store and take all the codes off.
So I'm going
to... Well, go ahead and open it. Let's try it. We've talked enough. You got to eat your way to success.
Pretty much.
Is it not in there anymore?
I still don't see it.
It might be towards the bottom or something.
Yeah.
I'll just take a couple. Oh, man, you got a big...
Yeah, they're all really good, full chips.
That's a good batch of Ruffles right there.
Here, I'll give you three.
Yeah, that's all I need, really.
Three full rounds of rigid
These are potatoes. Like six of any normal chip.
Yeah.
Ooh, they smell good.
Damn, they do.
They've got that sweet, but you can tell they're going to be a little hot kind of vibe. Yeah. Let's see how they taste. Looking for the code?
Yeah.
If they're smart, they do save it for like the bottom of the bag.
I don't see it.
All right, what'd you think?
I liked it, but the heat kind of seemed like Tabasco saucy. And I don't really like Tabasco sauce, but...
How is it... Okay, what do you mean when you say that? For anybody listening, what do you mean when you're saying Tabasco saucy?
I don't know how to describe it, but it's just like a vinegary heat without a lot of flavor behind it. But I liked the honey portion.
Yeah.
And that offset it for me. Like, I don't think I ended up finishing the LeBron James chips. I would definitely finish these.
Yeah, these will be easily finished.
Yeah.
Actually, what was interesting was how slow burning the heat was. Like, when I had the chips initially, for a second, I was like, those aren't very hot.
Oh, I got the heat pretty quick.
But it's definitely come home to roost.
Yeah.
You know, shortly thereafter. Yeah, I like the sweetness of the honey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was another flavor there, but I don't know if it's just a flavoring just to give the chips something. Like, I don't know if it's a cheese or something, but like, it feels like there's another flavor going on besides just honey. And I don't think habaneros have like a flavor. They're the heat element, really. And I want to guess there's some sort of cheese in there, too.
Yeah,
but probably. I didn't see anything in the marketing about it. But at any rate, I like the taste. I like the heat. It's, you know, it's a good flavor. If habanero and honey sound good to you, it's a first place finish
and if
in
you
that
want,
street race.
If you respect a chip brand that wears its riches on its sleeves,
mm-hmm.
all of its warts and all of its problems, yeah. you accept them as is, then you're gonna love it.
And you know, these are ridged to heck and back. These are the ridgiest of chips.
Yep.
And it's all about you, baby, and being your own ridge. And I've never felt more unique than when I've had a mass-produced potato chip.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness.
By the way, we did get...
Oh, I'm reading the bag. Sorry, I was right. Wait, hold on. No. I think...
Now, we can enter without a code.
Do you scan the QR code for it?
Oh, is there a QR code?
There's a QR code there. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
It says collect bags.
We could also handwrite... on a 3x5 note card, our full name, address, and all that other stuff.
Well, it says, enter the code at the website or scan the QR code below.
Okay, well...
So, worst case, they just forgot to put the code in there. But yeah, you can scan it and enter if you want. So, what are you rating it?
I'm going to go 3.5.
Huh. Seems a little harsh, but okay. It was mainly, you said, the Tabasco sauciness of the heat element. Okay.
It wasn't my favorite chip or heaty...
I'm going to go with a 4. Thought it was pretty good. There's not a whole lot to really get into the weeds about with it, but it's a solid cheap. It's a solid chip with a solid amount of heat. And if that's your thing, I think you'll be pleasantly satisfied.
Yeah.
And also what's really nice about this heat level is you're not going to be like, oh God, I need a drink. It's going to linger, but you're not.
Yeah.
You're not going to suffer, which
maybe
is...
Maybe if you eat the whole bag.
Yeah, I could destroy...
You'll see it coming.
Yeah, I could destroy, like... I know I have that heat going on, but, like, I'd be able to keep eating it and enjoying it without having to, like, oh, I got to stop kind of a thing. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a 4. You said 3.5. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, higher than a 4, really. So, like, I'm not going to begrudge you for dropping it half a point. And, you know, your mileage will vary if you are... more selective about what kind of heat you want in a chip, but it's good.
And then we did get our racing vehicle on our bag was a motorcycle.
Okay.
If anybody was interested, we did not get a car. We're not driving. We didn't get Vin Diesel.
Well, I don't know. I think each bag has a different vehicle.
So that's what I mean. So it's probably, you can probably collect all 8.
I suppose.
The QR code did not go to a sweepstakes. I don't think
we'll try. Well, if not, I'll try it after we finish the episode and... figure it out. I mean, you could win a car. They're not saying you will, but you could.
Yeah, so far it's been 3 pretty good items. Let's see if we can bring it home with probably the most frequent guest on our program.
If not, it's definitely one of the most frequent. Yeah. I don't know what would be most common, but it's one of those that's definitely made a home for itself on the show. Yeah.
So say hello once again to Mondelez's own Oreo cookie.
Yep. This is the blackout cake flavored Oreo, limited edition. Limited edition is something they say for a lot of these. Basically, if it's not part of their regular rotation, it's limited edition. So for this one, this came out not like super recently, but just a little while back. There's not really a lot to this one in terms of like press releases. It's just... hey, another flavor's out, kind of a thing. I'll just kind of go over this one article real quick. This article came out on USA Today at the end of March, and it's about the flavor. So again, it's like a month and a half old, something like that. They started actually in April 3rd, so they've only been around for a little over a month.
and they initially teased it on their Instagram. They had the package blacked out with a chocolate like layer cake background, and that's where they teased it, and then they revealed it, and that was it. Like, there wasn't a big hullabaloo outside of that. But I saw some of the comments, and I thought I'd read some of those from that post because they were enjoyable. So the caption says, "Can you guess our next limited edition flavor? Hint, you'll definitely want a slice or two." Winky emoji. And I mean, it's pretty obvious because there's that chocolate background, like the chocolate cake background. So there's one that guessed with all just emojis, with a chocolate cake and then a chocolate like bar with a question mark. Okay,
so they're just saying
chocolate.
I can't believe it's not chocolate.
Yeah. My favorite one is from Ghosted Blue. Chocolate cake. I don't know, bro.
There's someone that's sick to death.
Exasperated by the whole thing. Yeah.
Like it's because you know it's not just going to be chocolate cake. It's going to be, well, like blackout cake or like black chocolate raspberry cake.
Yeah, it's chocolate just, something.
Yeah.
Return of blueberry pie or we riot. It's got 176 likes.
Every time there's a new Oreo flavor, there's somebody.
Well, here's the thing.
That's dying on the sword of some other flavor.
Blueberry pie is one I wholeheartedly support coming back. That one is still, to this day, one of my favorites I've ever had.
I know. I did.
It's
so
good.
On their Twitter, I did try to guess if they'd be bringing back blueberry pie or a pie flavor. I was trying to back you up, but they didn't reply.
Mm, yeah.
So,
just bring s'mores back, please. And then eye roll emoji.
I will say s'mores is one that I'm surprised.
Here's another comment. That doesn't look like blueberry pie. Oh, here we go. Can you guys do something different for once? Bring back thin pistachio flavor or do a strawberry cheesecake flavor. Pizza, somebody said. And once again, Fruity Crisp is forgotten. Sad boy hours. Another pizza one with a JK beside it. This looks exactly like the ultimate chocolate ones. Frowny emoji.
Well, I got news for that person.
Yeah.
So I pulled up some reviews.
Another pizza. Yeah.
For this Oreo cookie. And average is 3.2 out of 5. The ratio is basically 50% of people said 5. And then everyone else said 3 or less. So in order, the most relevant Google reviews. 2 stars, disappointment for sure. 1 star, buy the original instead. 2 stars, ultimate chocolate still reigns supreme.
Ooh.
1 star, sickeningly sweet. 5 stars, these are yummy. 3 stars.
It's a plant.
Not impressed. 5 stars, 10 out of 10.
Another plant.
5 stars, OMG. 1 star, Nancy.
What?
This is
the name.
Nancy.
Nancy would have loved these if she hadn't died 2 years ago.
She choked on an ultimate chocolate.
She choked on a blueberry pie. Anyway.
5 stars. Love it. 5 stars. Oreo cookies. So
Oreo good. Okay, well, we've got a range there. I'll just read the description real quick and then we'll give it a whirl. It's the classic original snack cookies you've always known and loved, but with the unforgettable twist. These sweet treats feature a dual layer of chocolate cake flavor cream and dark chocolate cake flavor cream between 2 Oreo chocolate cookies, making them perfect for chocolate lovers. This does seem very much like going back to that chocolate well pretty early, since you just had ultimate chocolate ago.
Look, it's chocolate on chocolate. It's going to be good. But they're like, this unforgettable twist.
Yeah.
We put chocolate inside the chocolate cookie. Like it.
There's only so much you can do. When it's all chocolate on
just
chocolate.
Just say, like, you asked for chocolate, we're giving you chocolate.
Eat it, you pigs.
It doesn't have to be a groundbreaking... Your flavor scientist didn't have to spend 20 years making a cheese witch with a cookie. It's just, you put chocolate icing in a chocolate cookie.
Yeah. I think it'll be good, and then we'll just forget about it and move on. But let's open it up.
Does it have... It does.
Does it? Oh, it does. Thank God.
Longtime listeners will know we're talking about the easy open tab.
And I was going to say, the more I think about it, it's so common and happens like 9 times out of 10. It's always baffling when there's that one package that they don't include it on. I don't know what the reasoning is.
Give me 2.
You want 2?
I'm going to do one where I just eat the icing.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll do that too. Okay.
You know what? It smells good.
It does. It's interesting because the cream is so dark. Well, except for the... There's that lighter...
Lighter cream is way thinner.
If you keep spinning it, you'll find it'll like
Not really. Mine's pretty narrow across.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
But the dark chocolate cream is like, that's the cream.
The dominant one, yeah. If it's vastly different from ultimate chocolate, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
But maybe not. We'll see. All right, so as expected, it was good. But if you had a gun to my head and said, which is this, ultimate chocolate or blackout cake, I'd be like, just pull the trigger. I have no idea. I could not tell you what the difference is between the two.
So the ultimate chocolate, it had three chocolates, didn't it?
It did, but they all came together just to be chocolate, as far as I can recall.
So I feel like I remember kind of being underwhelmed by it. And maybe there was a higher icing proportion. I don't really remember it because it wasn't that unforgettable a twist. But yeah. I think I like this one more.
It
was chocolate. I mean, it's chocolate icing.
It's chocolate. It's chocolate all the way down.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
It's good. It's good. It's well done because the cream flavors are good. They're good chocolate flavors. But I struggle to differentiate the two. So whatever I gave that one, copy and paste. Whatever I said for that one, copy and paste all that here. I should just find that episode and copy that chunk and put it in here. I'm going with a 4.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like 4's too high. Like, it's good, but it's like...
That's probably what I gave the other one.
Yeah.
So if I gave it that, that's what I'm going with.
I think...
Check the footage.
I think I'm going to say 3.7... No, you know what? You know what?
You know what? You're putting way too much thought into this thing that doesn't really deserve it or warrant it.
I think I'm going to go with a 4. And what's going to put me over the edge...
Okay.
...is there's one thing that I just can't get from any other food that we've had on the show that I have in my daily life. And it's just imagining the executives at Hydrox reading that press release and tasting this cookie and just being like, son of a bitch, how do they do it?
Jim canceled the all chocolate Hydrox. They got us again.
Yeah. So just the joy in my heart that I get every time I bite into an Oreo cookie. And I remember physical relief that I felt after having an Oreo after a mouthful of Wheat Thin cookie that was Hydrox.
That's insulting Wheat Thins, but...
So it's a 4.
I'm just imagining, like, Papa Hydrox and Hydrox Jr., like, outside Oreo headquarters with binoculars hiding behind the bushes. What are they up to this week?
Yeah, like...
Oh, is that a new flavor? What is that packaging? Oh, is that something? Oh, we'll get them. We'll get them next time, Pa!
It's chocolate.
They skitter off.
It's chocolate's too sweet for our customers.
We can't afford that exotic cocoa like they can.
See, I think...
Oh, God.
Anything I've ever given an Oreo, just bump it up by a quarter point because it's worth it.
But yeah, I mean, they're good.
It's a chocolate cookie.
You see them, grab them if you want them, but whatever.
Yeah.
You've had it before if you've had
probably
like an all chocolate Oreo.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, that's that.
Yeah. Let's.
I think everything was pretty good.
Yeah. There's been no duds, which is always a relief because sometimes you get that big disappointment that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
None of them let us down. They were all pretty good to great, I would say.
Yeah.
So a good batch, a nice selection of snacks and treats to enjoy.
Yeah. So you know what?
The gas station episode lived up to its hype for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, patronize your local gas station.
And this, what's funny is basically all these items are exactly what you would find at a you know, like a Walgreens or a Sheetz or a Circle K or whatever you have, a Speedway, things like that.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all there is to say. So What were people going to... Oh, yeah, leave us a comment if you think cheese sandwiches mean the cheese is the sandwich or if it's the middle of the sandwich.
We get into a lot of semantical arguments, I feel like.
Well, you got to talk about something.
I know, but it seems like we hover around that. But yeah, let us know what side of that argument you land on. You can do that by visiting our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is @prizesinside. That's prizes, plural. And we're also on YouTube, same thing, Prizes Inside. Mm-hmm. We're adding episodes from our past, you know, series on there, and we're going to try and catch up to where we're at now, but it'll take a little while. Mm-hmm. So just keep checking that out. If you don't want to listen to us on your favorite podcast streaming app, but if you can, listen there, because if you're listening on a podcast app, we're getting that engagement.
We're so close also to our first $10 withdrawal.
Yeah. Which... Although actually we need to do a new ad for that, because now we're not making any more on new episodes because we don't have an ad to add.
Okay, well let's...
But I don't know if we have any... I don't know if we have... Like, they change, like, the requirements. So we have to, like, do it again. Like,
yeah.
Climb back up. So anyway, don't worry about that. That's an us problem. But yeah, just check us out on the social medias. You can email us, prizesinside@gmail.com. Feel free to leave a message for us there if you don't want to be publicly seen leaving a comment.
Yeah. Or give us some suggestions on what foods to try.
Yeah. If you ever have any thoughts about where you want the show to go, what you want us to talk about, or if you want us to, you know, respond to a comment you have, send us an email or something like that. We try and get back to all those at some point, you know, during our recording. So your thoughts and opinions are welcomed and received and eventually responded to.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Okay. Cool beans.
I'm Billy.
I'm Jeff.
And this has been Prizes Inside.